and say, now, Jesus, you know my two boys, John and James, they're special. And would you permit one to be on the right side and one to be on the left side in your kingdom? Didn't take Jesus very long to get that mess straightened out. So when you're walking together in unison, and they are going now for the sake of praying, to seek his face, to grow in wisdom. And as they were going together to the temple, at the hour of prayer, been the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a designated time that they would go to the house of God, and usually the morning also. And remember, it's not just them, other people. But now, look what's happening outside. People on the outside has an impression, but now there are injured people that's outside. And we that saved go inside to pray, to worship, to pray and get spiritual help, understand more about him. But now on the outside, those injured people are coming in contact with those people that's going into the temple. This man couldn't go in that we're going to read about because he was injured. And other people out there are injured. I've met people, and so have you. I didn't know it was going this way. You know, as I was studying last night and recently, God said, just kind of hang loose, you know. Sometimes we preachers, we study and we repair and we prepare and we know pretty much what we think we're going to do. But last night, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, just go on to bed now, and I'll just kind of fill you in as you go, okay? So let's talk about injured people on the outside. I bet there are more, bet. That's not a good word to use. That's a gambling word. But consider the thought, there's probably more people on the outside that's members of the church that were once members of the church that are not going to church now. That's just a fact. And I don't know all the reasons, but I know some. They've been injured. For whatever reason, might have been their fault, might have been somebody else's fault. And we know the devil has a heyday doing that, because that's why we need to be in the house of God all we can, because the Holy Spirit moves and convicts us, and those things that's wrong in our heart, he'll speak to us, and we know that to be in contact with God and to have our prayers answered and to grow close to him, and when the loss of Jesus, we've got to be in unity, we've got to be. But there's injured people out there. And saved people, Peter and John, are coming in contact with him. And they need help. And I can't say, and you can't either, are those people that were once members that not were they saved? I don't know. But they're injured, that I know. And if they're not saved, they could be saved. So let's keep reading. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. It's interesting, they didn't lay him down on the street corner down where they were shopping. They laid him at the most likely place to get help. The people of God, with a compassionate heart, that was going in to pray. Surely they're right with God. If anybody's right with God and can help me physically or has the desire in their heart to see someone in need, surely it's the people of God. That's the impression that this man had, the parents had, every who laid him at the gate. Same is true. Those people that's out there injured for whatever reason, or maybe they're injured because they've never been to church at all and they're injured by Satan. They were born in sin, shaping their iniquity, but then, for whatever reason, they never went to the house of God. They're injured. And even they have an impression in the house of God, if anybody can help me. Isn't that interesting that people that don't even think anything about getting saved or anything else, they still have that impression that if anybody ought to do right, it's the people of God. Surely we, as God's people, won't disappoint them. So now as he's laying there, he sees Peter and John about to go into the temple. asking an alms, asking help. He needs help. He needs help for meals, somebody to take care of him. So alms, some money, something to help me with. But see, Peter and John, they were like a lot of people. They didn't have monetary means of support to do that, but they did have something. You may not be wealthy and you may not have hardly anything, and you can't hardly live just during the time, pay your bills and go to the doctors and all that. But you can have help. Look what kind of help they had. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. They were in unity one with another. They were in unity with the Lord. They were going to the house of God, not only to pray, to seek God's face and understand more about what they ought to be doing, but there was someone outside. That's where the injured people are. I'm not saying you and I aren't injured also, but if you are injured spiritually or otherwise, the best place to find help is the house of God. But as they were going, this man had the impression that if anybody can help me, they can. And they had the right kind of help. They had help from God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, in contact with the Holy Spirit of God, had the impression. God gave him the word to say, the faith to believe. If you will just believe, you shall be whole. Instantly, the man received his strength. But I want to look next at what's going to happen now. Once you get saved, you're wounded, and God touches you, you pretty well could answer this if you hadn't even read the text. You're probably going to go to the source of help, to God, and the best place to find him would be in the house of God. Didn't take him very long. He had laid there, no doubt, many years, many months. He had seen people come and go in and out, and that was good. Hopefully they were praying for him. But he had such an impression. Now the Holy Spirit has done a work within his life and within his being. So let's see what happens now in verse 7. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." First thing you want to do when you get saved is go to the Lord's house, and now you can't hardly help it, leaping and praising and giving thanks. And as sure as you do that, someone else is going to be looking. When God touches us in a special way, whether it's healing or whether it's spiritually or he's done something for us, you go to God's house and you give him thanks. We're back to thing, and all the people are going to see it. This miracle is not just him and Peter and John, but other people now. And there's always such a mass of people out there that knows you, then they know me. And probably a lot of what they're going to do in the next week or month or years about attending the house of God or getting saved probably relies a lot on the impression and what they see out of you and I. Say, boy, that's a lot of responsibility. Sure is. But God trusted us, and he would not have given us this charge if he did not know we could do it with his help, of course. He has empowered you and I to live a life, to have the ability, have a character, and have the Spirit of God in us, and you don't have to say, well, I can't say the words, oh, it's easier than that. The words fall on deaf ears sometimes. The love in your heart, the tears in your eyes, the compassion that you have cannot be hid. They see that. And it makes an impression on them. See now, he went in leaping and praising and giving God all the glory. Verse 9 says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. Not only in the temple, but now he's back out. And he's in society. And they saw, they heard. And they knew that he didn't do it within himself. The next verse says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto them. I've heard a lot of people talk, and you have too, about someone that was out in sin. You know, they were bad reputation, just lived a life so displeasing to God that people would almost have given up on them. It'll never happen. They'll never change their ways. But then because of someone's testimony, because of the Holy Spirit using somebody to pray, using somebody to witness, using somebody with a broken and a contrite heart to be around them, something caused them to start calling on God, and they got saved. And they got changed. Not what they used to be. All things become new. And now the wonderment of that, this man had no ability to do anything for himself, but now they knew something has happened to him. You can't hide it. God sees us. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about it. Now let's look lastly at inside the gate. There was an entrance, of course. And there's an entrance in my heart. And there's an entrance in every lost people's heart. We have ears to hear and what we hear. And the music you listen to or all the things is a gateway to the heart. And the eyes have a gateway to the heart. So be careful. We've heard the phrase, little children, be careful what you see. So true, because in those eyes, the gateway to the heart, the pride of life. And all those things that people indulge in, it has a gateway to the heart. And thank God for that, because the same gateways of hearing and seeing, and God gives us the sense of feeling, they have an impression of you and I, the importance of the house of God. We come to the house of God, it's not the only place to pray, but it's a good place to pray. The house of God is not the only place to hear in these days. You can hear the Word of God preached on the internet, on the radio. We have God's Word, and quite a bit I carry my phone with me, and I got eSword on there, so you just hit a button and listen to the Word of God in your shirt pocket. You hear God's Word. And that's nothing like being in the house of God. I mean, that's good, and we can't always be in the house of God. But there's other means, no doubt. If I'm in a car, I have CDs that plays God's Word. That's good. We can always fill our ears with the things of God. But there's no substitute for the house of God. Internet, and watching the programs many are watching right now across the world, not just our church, but thousands of churches, and that's good, good technology. But don't let it be a substitute for assembling yourselves in the house of God. Paul says, fail not to assemble yourselves in the house of God, the manner somehow. There's something about inside the gates, inside the walls. Now that young man that was healed by the Holy Spirit by a touch of God when he reached down and picked him up. He could have praised God forever out on the streets, but it wasn't good enough. Instantly, jumps up and he runs in the temple. God has set that apart in our lives. And I'm talking about the beautiful house of God, not just a building. It's more than that. It's assembly of God's people to assemble to worship, to give him praise and honor. And in these last days, hell doesn't like it, tearing down, destroying, doing every tactic he possibly can to deter and distract and keep people from assembling in the house of God. But don't let it be us, because let's make much about assembling in the house of God. And obviously I'm preaching to you, and you're here, thank God for it. But have the reassurance that it is important. As I was reared as a child, the most important thing in their life, there wasn't TV, and there wasn't, hey, I'll tell you something if you won't tell me. Growing up, we had no electricity. We had one radio, the battery radio, I guess. And that radio was never turned on. Didn't have preachers and stuff like that on the radios back in those days. We had one, Buck Huntley, in Tennessee. Not Buck Huntley, but Buck Ledford in Tennessee. We would listen to that. But the only time it's turned on was to get the important news. Probably the Korean War was going on, I guess, and the only battery we had. But God today has given us all kinds of luxuries and resources to listen. Don't let any of them be a substitute for the beautiful house of God. Would you stand this morning, your heads bound? Importance. The house of God, the people, the importance of the house of God, the God, and those impressions that are made, lasted impressions. And then all those people outside, injury, but inside the gates, we hear, we worship, we give praise and honor to him. It's a place to give thanks. And he repairs those things and those things that's hurt. Because here we ask forgiveness. He convicts your heart and he says, remember what you thought, remember what you said, remember what you did, remember what you didn't do. Conviction. And then we say, yes, Lord, forgive me. The house of God. And as time goes by, it'll be more important because the world's getting worse. And we need, I've told this many times before, but the pastor that was here at the church, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, he said that day, of course it was in the morning, on the Sunday morning, and the church, the old church, was just scantily filled. But then after Pearl Harbor and the world saw that things were, and Americans saw, he said the next Sunday, just one Sunday, the next Sunday, they couldn't get in the house of God and they were standing outside looking through the windows. Why? Just one thing happened. What became more important than anything else to the community? The house of God. Don't let that have to happen. It could happen. Some tragedy. But I'm telling you, the house of God will be even more important to every one of us tomorrow than it is today. Take advantage of today. With the piano organist come, not the message I thought I would bring, but it's God's message that he wanted to bring. We appreciate you being here this morning. Whatever your needs are, altar is open. Perhaps maybe you say, well, I've not even been thinking about the importance of the house of God. Not been faithful to the house of God. Or I know others that aren't faithful. They're injured. I'm confident there is more injured people outside of churches, not here, than are here. Some people ask me how many members of our church we had. And I said, I can't rightly tell you. I'm not sure the FBI could find them all. And aren't you proud you don't have to keep up with all that? I mean, we couldn't. But God can. And he uses us. You know some people that's been injured. And I know some people has been injured. I don't know why, I don't know how, but something's keeping them. And let's pray and seek His face. If you're not saved this morning, what a wonderful opportunity would be, because we understand the Lord could come. We may not be here alive. We could go car wrecks, whatever. Young people are dying, old people are dying alike. Whatever the need is, God would save you this morning. God would help you. Come boldly to the throne of grace, and there you can find help. Trouble in the land, trouble in families, trouble in so many different things. But would you just come, kneel, call on His holy and blessed name. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful we can call You Lord. Lord, search our hearts, search my heart. Show me the error of my ways and the things I could have done that I haven't done. The things I should have done that I haven't done. So I won't make the same mistakes in the future. Let me understand and know that our days should be days of prayer and seeking Your face. We can do it under an old oak tree. We can do it in an automobile driving down the road, but there's no substitute, no place like the house of God. Thank it we can assemble ourselves together, see afresh in You the importance of it, the importance You've stated in Your Word. Thank You, Father, that we can look to You for the day and the future. We know You're soon coming. We do not know the day nor the hour. Let our hearts be prepared and stay prepared for the soon coming of the Lord. In Thy name we pray with thanksgiving. Sure do love You. Amen.